So tonight, I would like to look a little bit at our Heavenly Father's love. What a powerful message. What a way to just set the table. And I want to bless Brother Dave Miller for sharing that with us, all to the glory of God, about the family. And it just fits in. I'd like to talk to us a little bit about the love of the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. And I get really passionate about the love of God. And I want to explain why I get passionate about the love of God. But before we do that, something that I just felt that God was laying on my heart to share with us, and it's my prayer that as we go into a night like this, as we search out God's love for us, that we would search our own hearts, that we would allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. And I'm going to turn to Psalms 139, the last two verses. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." I think of another verse that says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Is that our heart's cry tonight? Is that what we're longing for? Are we longing for God to set us free, to create in us clean hearts? Are we longing for that tonight? And so I'm going to, there's going to be a presentation that's going to play before I get into the message. It's a presentation on God's love. And it's in the form of a letter. Some of you might have heard it before. It just really spoke to me. The reason I chose to play it tonight is it's Scripture. It's a compilation of Scripture. It's all a whole bunch of Scripture throughout the Bible that's put together. And somebody, yes, man put it together in a letter. But let it be personal to you tonight. As you watch it and as you listen to it, as you meditate on it, make it that God would be writing that letter directly to you, because he wants to write that letter to each of us tonight.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. They come from the very heart of God. He loves you. And he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. On your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. you forth on the day you were born.
Jesus.
I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child, and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. Treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. Greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. Father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. I came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and for your goodness tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross. I thank you, Father, that you were willing to send your only Son. And as you ask that final question to us, you will always be our Father. The question is, will we be your children? Will we say yes to Jesus tonight? Father, I just pray for each one of us that you, the Holy Spirit, would minister to each one of our hearts tonight as we look into that pure love that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts tonight that we would say yes to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we believe it tonight? Do we believe that God wants to be our Father? That last question always gets me. God says he will always be our Father. The question is, will we be his children? Are we willing to abide? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. About a year ago, I had the privilege of a friend invited me to go to a Land of Promise conference that Straight Path Foundation does. And I thought, yeah, I'll go. Why not? I'll go see what it is. I went to that conference and I was like, I'm a pretty good guy. I think I've got it pretty much together. Well, the Lord had different plans, and he really wrecked me through that. But one thing that he showed me on the one session that he had on the Father's love, and that's really what just really created me to be really passionate about God's love for us, was that night a brother came up to me and he said, you will never be able to give away what you don't have in your heart. If we don't have God's love in our heart, we'll never be able to give it away. And as his children, that's what he wants from us. He wants us to abide in him. He wants to be our shepherd. He wants to lead us. But we got to say yes to the Lord. Are we willing to say yes to God tonight? I'd like to share a story with us. And just to be clear, I have a deep passion for the Father's love, but it isn't because I want to make us all warm and fuzzy inside. It isn't because I want us to feel that warm love. Excuse me. It's because of this. So often we think of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for our sins. He died. He let those nails be driven through his hands and his feet. He was spit upon, crown of thorns on his head. I'm so grateful tonight for what Jesus did. But did we ever think about it? Did we ever think what God went through the night that Jesus died? The reason I'm so passionate about the Father's love is this. If we don't grasp what God went through that night, if we don't grasp and get the fact of what God sacrificed for us, May I suggest that we will never find true freedom in Jesus Christ. I'm passionate about that love because when I really got it, when I really started thinking about what God gave up, yes, Jesus gave his life. It's the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm so thankful for that tonight. But again, I call us out. Did we ever think about what God gave up that night? And that's what I'd like to look at a little bit tonight. I want to make it in the likeness of a story, and this is, whether this is a true story or not, I'm not sure, but it's a story that I read, and it touched my heart, and I think we can get a principle from it. There was a dad who his job was to, he was a drawbridge operator, and so every day he'd have this booth that he would sit in, and every day he would go to his job, and when the ships came, his job was to make the bridge go up so that the boats could go underneath, but then he had to make sure he let it down in time when the train wanted to come the other way. Well, this one particular morning he woke up, and his son, excuse me, and his son wanted to go with him to work that day, and he said, yeah, sure. And down underneath, like his booth was up here, and down underneath was a big wheel that turned. And it was kind of like a pulley, you know, when two wheels come together and the gears just grind, that's what made this drawbridge happen. And the father had the lever up on the top. That day he took his young son with him to work, and they were having, I just imagine them having a good time together. And the father maybe went about his business doing something and maybe lost track of his son for a moment. So as he was sitting there, the alarm sounded that there is a ship coming and that he needs to make the bridge go up. And so he made the bridge go up and the ship went past. And as he was just sitting there waiting for all of that to happen, all of a sudden he got the alert, which wasn't unusual, that there's a train coming and he needs to let the bridge back down again. Well, as he was about ready to get set to do all of this, he happens to look down there to this wheel, and his son was crawling up the wheel. So as his son was crawling up the wheel, he knew that the train is getting close, and he knew that he doesn't have any time. He doesn't have enough of time to run down there and get his son and be back up in time to pull the lever. And as the train was coming, he had a decision to make. He knew for certain that if he pulls the lever, the bridge would fall down, and the train would be able to go across, and it would save hundreds and hundreds of lives on this train, but it would cause him the death of his son. So it was either saving his son and everybody else perish, or it was letting the bridge down, and his son, it would cost his son's life to save the rest. I think you probably get the picture of the story. The dad had that decision to make, and as the train grew closer and closer, he reached up and he closed his eyes and he pulled the lever. And his son was crushed to death. But the train was able to pass. And as the train passed over the bridge, he looked down there weeping. And he's seeing the train go by. And he's seeing the faces of the people in there. I have no idea what just happened. They're laughing, joking, maybe praying. I don't know what they were all doing. They had no idea what just happened. It cost him his son, and many lives were able to be spared. I'm asking us tonight, do we realize? I look at that and I take it a picture of what God, exactly what God did for us. He looked down here on a race, and he's seen that we couldn't be saved on our own. We were doomed to eternity, to hell, which the Bible says he actually knew before the foundation of the earth. But he looked down here and he's seen that we need a Savior. And he also had that decision to make. And he agreed to send his son to die for us so that we could be set free. I'm pleading with us tonight that we wouldn't be like the people on the train and we would be ignorant to what happened. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that he could die for our sins. Jesus bore the iniquity so that we could be set free. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. But let's get a hold again of what God did, God's part. It said he even, you know, we had our family night tonight, my three little boys came up, and we were up here weeping and crying, and It was just a time of the presence of the Lord. And I was just thinking, you know, what if I would have to send one of my sons and I'd actually, the only way he could die, God had to turn his back on Jesus. And Jesus even cried out, he said, Father, why have you forsaken us? Why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine the pain that God had to bear to hear that from his only son? But he did it because he loved us, because he wants to be our father. He wants to be our daddy. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what for upbringing you all had. I had the privilege to be raised by an amazing, amazing daddy. Maybe some of you didn't have that privilege in here tonight. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to be our daddy. He wants to be our father. He wants to wrap his arms around us and love us and care for us. He left us, he left his son. And his son left us many promises, and some of those promises are in John 14, and I'm going to turn there tonight, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the promises that Jesus leaves us as we just continue to contemplate on God's part of the deal and what God had to go through. He loved us that much, and that same God that loved us that much still lives today. He still loves us today, and he still wants to see his children get set free. Are we willing to say yes to God? It's the only way we can hear this letter. We might get feel warm and fuzzy, but until we're willing to give our lives for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, until we're willing to say, yes, Lord, until we're willing to say, yes, God, will this apply to us, this love? He wants to surround us. He wants to be our daddy. He doesn't want anybody to be lost, but he wants all to come to the knowledge of the saving of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross that day, now we got a little bit of a picture of maybe what God's side of it. Now let's turn the table a little bit and maybe get a little bit of a picture of Jesus' side to be one of those where he had to feel that rejection. And yet in the end he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We had a sign that was upstairs in our barn, and it said, Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched his arms as wide as he could, and he said, this much. And he allowed them to drive nails through his hand. He allowed them. He gave his life. They didn't take it. He allowed them to nail him to the cross, and he said, this much. And then he died for us so that we could be set free. Are we thankful for that tonight? Are we thankful for the blood of Jesus? Can we give God glory tonight? Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood of the cross. Are we thankful for Jesus tonight? Let's look into his promises that he gives us in John 14. This is just a little prior to his death. I want to leave with us some promises that Jesus left with his disciples before he died on the cross. John chapter 14, three promises, three things that I want to look at that he left for us or for his disciples in John. I'm going to read it. John 14, it said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the first promise I would like to look at. So Jesus did die for our sins. God is a loving Father. But it's not only that. He prepared a place for us. Where he wants all of us to go, he's building and preparing mansions. He said if it were not so, he would tell us that. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what Jesus did and the promises that we can hang on to. Are we holding on to those promises tonight? And then one of the disciples, Thomas, said, we don't really know where you're going. Can you tell us? Is that us tonight? Again, I don't know all of you, but is that us tonight? Do we know? Do we know the way? Do we know where we're going in life? Do we have a purpose? Because God, in his love, has a purpose for each one of us. No one was a mistake. Are we following that purpose? Are we following what God has for us? Here was Jesus' answer. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. Are we following that life? Are we following that truth? Do we know Jesus tonight? Did we experience the love of the Father? Because again, We cannot give something away to the world. We've heard a message, I think it was by Rick, yeah, talking about taking the light out into the dark places. We can't do that if we didn't experience it in our own heart. If we don't know the love of the Father in our own heart, if we don't have Jesus Christ in our own heart, we can't do that. We need to experience the love of the Father. The second promise that I want to look into tonight before we go into that second promise, I just had to think, you know, as we think of abiding, as we think of walking, you know, sometimes we want to get this thing mixed up as, you know, it's about maybe what we wear or where we go to church that saves us. But it really is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and dying on the cross. Also in John 14, he says, "He that loves me will keep my commandments. And my Father will come, my Father and I will come and we'll make our abode with him." Maybe that's a fourth promise he lets in here for us. That if we abide in him, if we walk with him, he will come. He wants to come. He wants to come. But we need to say, "Yes, Lord." Several years back, when I was in prison, an inmate asked me, excuse me. An inmate asked me, why, if God knew everything that's going to happen, why wasn't it just creation? Then Jesus came and died on the cross, and then the end. And as I started thinking over that, I asked him if I could have one night to think about it and give him an answer the next day when we come back. And as I started praying into that, there was a revelation given to me by some other brothers, by the Holy Spirit, as we were praying into this question, that I think it's simple. I think any one of us out there, whether you're dating, whether you're single, whether you're married, I don't think any of us would like if our parents would choose our wife. Am I right? Or our husband? I don't think we would appreciate that at all. What was the same for, it is the same for Jesus. He didn't want a bride that was chosen and picked out for him. That's why we have the free will of choice. He wants a wife that will choose him. He wants a wife, he wants a bride, he wants a church that says yes to Jesus and yes to the love of the Father. Then he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." He said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you." What a precious promise. He promises us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said that Holy Spirit is coming. Jesus died on the cross. He ascended. Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit came. It is for us today to grab a hold of and to rest in that anointing and that power of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that Jesus left with us many, many years ago, and it's still present today. Are we tapping into it tonight? Are we tapping into that presence tonight? Third promise I'm going to look at is the peace. He said he gives us peace. He left peace with his disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." That peace. He wants to give us peace. Do we have the peace of Jesus in our heart? Are we willing to say yes to Jesus, to his peace, to the Holy Spirit? I have to think of a song. For some of us here tonight, we might have been walking with Jesus for many years. For some of us tonight, we might have been walking with Jesus for many years. For some of us tonight, it might have just happened this week. And for some of us, it might have not happened yet. But I have to think of a song. If we're here tonight and it has not happened, I have to think of a song that says, "Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?" And for those of us who have been walking with Jesus, we want more of him. We want more of that Spirit. We want more of the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that tonight. I'm going to share it real quick while the Miller family is going to do a presentation for us here in just a little bit. But I'm going to share a real quick story. Thank you. Wow, there's a brother that's in tune with the Spirit. He knew exactly what I need. I'm going to share a quick story. After the presentation, I would like us to think about this story as they give their presentation. Mary, when Jesus came into the house, Mary, they were at Mary and Martha's house, Lazarus' house. And Mary comes up and she had a jar of real expensive ointment. The commentaries say that ointment, the cost of the ointment that she had in the jar would have been approximately 1 year's wages. That ointment, she had such a desire to rest at the feet of Jesus. She had such a desire to just come to the feet of Jesus and just to worship him that she was willing to sacrifice. She probably gave a lot of money for that. But she was willing to sacrifice that because she understood who Jesus is. She understood, she saw them as her Lord and as her Savior, as her Master. And she was willing to just come to the feet of Jesus and to just open that jar and pour it out all over his feet. Some of them were like, that could have been sold, but Jesus said no. He said she did a wonderful work. She was willing to just come to the feet of Jesus. I'm asking us tonight, as I give this presentation, let's think about it. Are we willing to be set free? Are we willing to just come to the feet of Jesus and to just abide in him tonight? Are we willing to do that? Listen as they give their presentation.
You are a rebel.
Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, I'll tell you straight up, you are a rebel against the living God.
This is your natural disposition. Why? Because you were born in sin.
We are all in a prison cell, and it takes the grace of God to awaken us to the fact that we're lost and we can't get out.
We are headed towards destruction, fast.
The enemy, because of our rebellion against God, has legal right to harm and harass our life.
There you are behind the prison bars, and you're yelling, help, I need out!
But you can't get out, because those prison bars are stronger than any adamant.
There's no way you can get out, because they're stronger than diamond. It is impenetrable. You cannot escape.
You're doomed. Because when the enemy comes in at the very end, he's going to finish you off, because he has legal right to do it, and he will relish every minute of it.
But then in strolls your intercessor, your mighty man, and he stands between you and the accuser, and he takes the hit that was rightfully yours.
He takes the blow that was intended for you.
That is an extraordinary reality. He was turned into a pulp, and he actually died.
God died for you.
Over your prison cell, it is always said,
condemned,
separated eternally from God,
guilty.
Then suddenly it switches when you realize what Jesus Christ has done, and then it says,
justified,
forgiven,
and redeemed.
Here's the problem. Most of us have stopped with the good news right there.
My friends, the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. He was killed.
I want you to know that is unbelievable news, but we are still in a prison cell.
We're just sitting within our cell saying, thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you for changing the sign above my cell.
And then God's word says, could you check the door? Because my blood was shed for more than just forgiveness.
Forgiveness was the avenue through which he could make the escape for us.
He isn't just interested in dealing with the consequences of sin, or merely just the penalty of sin. He has also dealt with the problem of sin.
You need to test the door. It's unlocked.
The door to the prison cell is unlocked.
Walk out. Smell the open air of freedom and liberty in the life of Jesus Christ.
And when you walk outside of your cell, there is a chariot that's waiting for you.
An emissary for the king says, the king beckons you into his presence.
The very king is beckoning you into his presence.
You ask, are you sure you have the right person? I am a rebel. I stood against my God. I spat in his face. How could he want me?
The king still beckons you, and you get in the chariot.
But wait, where are you taking me?
Well, into the very near presence of the king. He wants you to live where he lives.
Not just the penalty.
Not just the problem.
But an invitation to his very near presence.
And as you're coming in, the emissaries say that he wants to adopt you as his child.
Adopt me as his child?
You come into his presence totally broken before the reality of what he has done for you.
I don't deserve this. Why have you done this for me?
I love you, he says, and I have a commission for you.
For me? You want me to go work for you?
I want you to work for me. I want you to represent me.
I'll do anything.
I need you to go back to that prison that I took you out of, because there's a whole bunch more that need to know about me and my love and my truth.
I need to forewarn you. I'm sending you out as a sheep among wolves.
They will kill you.
They'll destroy you, and they'll hate you.
They will persecute you and do whatever they can to harm you.
I don't care. I'm in. God, you shed your blood for me. I would gladly shed mine for you. Take me, Lord Jesus, and send me.
Not just the penalty.
Not just the penalty.
Not just the invitation to his very near presence.
Not just the adoption as a son or daughter of the King of Kings.
But my friends, we are commissioned to represent him. And I want you to realize that it is a privilege beyond any other privilege.
To bear the very name, the very image, the very reputation of God Almighty.
He then says, go and send you.
Go, be unashamed of my gospel, and preach it.
Go and rescue the lost in the power of my name. For is not the lamb that was slain worthy to receive the reward of his suffering?
I'll go.
And as you're beginning to head out with his blessing, he says,
hold it, wait, there's one more thing.
Not just the penalty.
Not just the problem.
Not just the invitation to his very near presence.
Not just the adoption as a son or daughter of the King of Kings.
And not just the commission. Before you go, he says, what I am sending you out to do, it's impossible. And if you do it in your own strength, you will fail. But I am sending you out to be a victor. My children will not lose.
Will you give me your body? And I, the Lord, will come in, and I will make it my home.
And I will take those hands of yours, and I will make them my hands.
I will take those feet of yours and make them my feet.
I will take that mouth of yours, and it will speak my words.
I will take those eyes of yours, and they can now see what I need you to see in this world.
And I will take that heart of stone, and I will make it a heart of flesh, and it will beat with my burdens, and you will care about the very things that I care about.
Your prayers will become my prayers.
Your life, your attitude, your behavior, every minute of every day will be the very behavior of God.
Will you allow me to overtake your life?
Because then we go into the world as little lambs with the faces of lions. Because the living God Almighty, the consuming, almighty, sovereign God dwells within his children.
If we stand and the wolf pack surrounds us, we stand in the authority and the name of Jesus. And we will not back down, because we do not head off to war to lose, but we head off to war to win.
Our God mocks all the powers of earth and hell through faulty little lambs, because his lamb beat the wolf pack.
And that's the gospel.
The gospel triumphs over all powers of earth and hell and demonstrates to the universe the manifold wisdom of God.
He is in control. And even though we look weak, and even though spiritually and physically we are weak, spiritually, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
And that is good news.
We need to rise up, proclaim the gospel, and say,
I am unashamed of it.
Thank you. That's the gospel. And I'm going to give an invitation tonight. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you want what they talked about, you want to push that prison cell open and you want to say yes to Jesus, or you just want more of Him, you want that kind of freedom, I invite you to come. I'm going to pray. If it has spoken to you and you just have a longing to come before the presence of the Father, into that presence, into the presence of Almighty God, and just say, yes, Lord, I invite you to come. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father, you are the King of kings and you are the Lord of lords. Father, we glorify your name tonight. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And if this has moved us, Father God, then I pray that we would come and say, yes, Lord. We would come and say, yes, Jesus. We want that. We want that power of the gospel. We want that armor. We want to put on the full armor of God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. If that has spoken to you tonight, friends, you want to say, just come and say, yes. You want that power. You want what was spoken about tonight. And we want more of it. And I invite you to come.